Money FM 89.3, best of the evening runway. China Perspective.
Money FM 89.3. It is the evening runway. I'm Elliot Danker. Time now to take a look at headlines from China. From a rare meeting between former Taiwanese President Ma Ying-jeou and Chinese President Xi Jinping to a new chapter of Beijing-Pyongyang relations. We'll get some analysis right now. On the line with us is Dr. O A Sun, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Dr. O, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. Sorry to have missed all of you last week as I was roaming part of China.
I'm telling you, you have a secret mission as James Bond. Let's get to serious business. The big news, Dr. O, is this meeting between Taiwanese President Ma Ying-jeou and Chinese President Xi Jinping. This happened in Beijing. I'm curious, what was the main agenda here?
Well, this is, of course, the second time that they met up. The first time was Singapore in 2015, and I was around at that time. I think the agenda is essentially the same as previously, namely to try to promote reunification of both sides of the Taiwan Strait. And, of course, with the incoming president of Taiwan, Mr. Lai, about to assume office, I think China would, of course, like to, in a sense, try to fixate, for lack of a better term, to fixate this sort of position for reunification instead of letting it run wild with Taiwanese independence and so on.
Might this meeting be also an outlet for de-escalation considering the news cycle in recent times? Although I am curious, how is Mr. Ma still, for lack of a better choice of words, relevant at this point in time?
Well, Mr. Ma is, of course, not the most popular political personality in Taiwan at the moment, with even his own party, the Kuomintang, shunning him at the beginning of the year because they thought he was too pro-unification and therefore rather poisonous for their voter canvassing effort. But, well, he is considered by China to be a VIP guest, and for them, he is a symbol for reunification with Taiwan. I don't think, frankly, it would gain a lot of political currency, both for himself as well as for his Kuomintang party in Taiwan. But, well, China would like to put him out as a symbolic figure for reunification.
Okay. Still on this issue, President Xi has told Mr. Ma that nobody can stop the family reunion with Taiwan. How do we view this statement? I mean, you can't help but think that people are going to look at it as a warning to outside interferences.
Well, of course, this particular message is intended for none other than the United States, because I think on the same day, the U.S. President Joe Biden was meeting the Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida to sort of renew their military alliance and so on. And unspoken in that renewed Japan-American military alliance is, for example, their willingness to come to Taiwan's assistance should there be conflicts between both sides of the Taiwan Strait. And that to China is, of course, not very desirable. So they need to put up this Ma meeting in order to, from their perspective, counter this.
So the new Taiwanese president has to respond a bit more pragmatically. Is there an olive branch to all of this?
I don't think there's really an olive branch here, because Mr. Ma is not in any sense of the word a representative of the Taiwanese administration. I think it's a rather one-sided attempt by China to once again emphasize reunification.
All right. Let's talk about this new chapter of Beijing-Pyongyang relations. One of China's top-ranking officials, Zhao Leji, met Kim Jong-un during a three-day visit to Pyongyang over the weekend. Doctor, how has this relationship evolved over the years? Help us understand the context of the words new chapter in the relationship.
Well, this new chapter, it's, I guess, also a rehash of previous chapters. Namely, I think Beijing would see Pyongyang as a buffer state between itself and South Korea, and by extension, the United States, mostly sort of buffer state between U.S. and China. And from the Pyongyang perspective, of course, I think they are looking forward to more economic cooperation from China, yeah.
All right. Well, China is North Korea's most important economic benefactor, of course, diplomatic ally as well. Doctor, how does having a good relationship with North Korea the other way around, how is that beneficial to China?
Well, number one, as I said, there is a buffer state role for North Korea. On the other hand, of course, I think, to put it rather crudely, there is a constant irritant, both South Korea and the United States, and China would like to keep it that way, as the U.S. has presence in both Japan and South Korea. Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the German Chancellor Olaf Scholz visiting China. It was a three-day visit. He arrived on Sunday. He is expected to meet President Xi today. It's interesting to see Mr. Scholz visiting China when you consider there are mounting European concerns over what they call unfair competition with the country. Your thoughts on this, Doctor?
And it's a rather frequent visit, isn't it?
Yeah.
I recall Mr. Schultz visiting China also last year, and although it was a short visit, I think a lot of German companies, they are having, shall we say, two minds about China. On the one hand, of course, they also view in general, similarly to the American and other European counterparts, that China is unfairly flooding the markets with all these electric vehicles and so on. I think they have that view. But they also have the view that China is too big market to ignore. And a lot of these German companies, they also have very big factories in China, in Shanghai, Guangzhou, and so on. So they could not afford to totally, shall we say, abandon China. Yeah,
yeah, no, it's an interesting one. And surprisingly, the last time we spoke about this was on the back of a launch of Xiaomi's electric vehicle that looks very stylish. Over the weekend, I saw yet another Chinese EV brand that's launched like a electric sports car sort of design. And you would think that, you know, it really is about finding a way to work together, something potentially China might be open to. What does this move from Germany, does it pave the way for the rest of Europe, or would the rest of Europe be potentially looking to, as they say, work together?
Well, shall we say the official Europe, namely the European governments and so on, working hand in hand with the United States and the other Western powers. But there's also, shall we say, the private sector Europe, right? Mm. And then they are also, again, having two minds about China. On the one hand, they would not like Chinese, in this case, electric vehicles to compete very fiercely with them. On the other hand, as I said, well, they also like to set up their factories in China.
Right.
So that's why you see this constant back and forth, pull and push between this, shall we say, two ways of thinking in Europe. And that's why they could not really make up their mind as to whether to go all out in isolating China or to continue to engage with China. Yeah.
So ultimately, right, with regard to this conversation, I guess there'll be more to come. Do we still have to wait for Mr. Scholz to speak with Mr. Xi? Can we get a baseline on whether or not this visit has helped in any way to boost ties or economic ties with China?
Well, I think it's more to, shall we say, consolidate or solidify some of the existing commercial ties with China. Mm. I don't think there will be a lot of new ones that are being forged. But as I said, there are still a lot of German factories in China. And I think the German side, they would like to make sure these factories are being treated nicely, fairly, and so on. Yeah.
Are we getting any indication as far as concerns over China's ties with Russia? I mean, considering Germany is part of that EU, naturally, this question would have popped up.
Well, I think behind closed doors, of course, it will be mentioned. But, well, China is a very huge power, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And although Germany is a very major one as well, but it's not a big military power. And therefore, yeah, I think that should be conveyed to China. But to what extent China will pay heed to that, I think, remains to be seen here.
All right. I've been speaking with Dr. O.A. Sun, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Dr. O, thank you so much for your time today.
Well, thank you very much indeed.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.